What should we pray? In the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus discusses the hypocrites who pray on street corners, he says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray." And then the Lord's Prayer follows. The pagans did not consider any god to be their loving father. A pagan was pious towards the gods because it was the smart and prudent thing to do. People cultivated a relationship with certain gods to gain the benefits such a relationship could bring. We do not have to pray with many words to get God's attention. We have a loving Father in heaven who knows what we need before we ask. The pagans do not know this loving Father whom we know through Christ, and so their prayers are vain. There is a second aspect of vain repetitions. The pagans focus on what they want in prayer. It is vain to think that we can conform God's will to our own by praying for what we want again and again. Manipulating God is indeed vain, because God's will certainly be done, no matter what. Jesus gives us the Our Father to repeat, so that the prayers we do repeat will not be vain. They are not vain because if we put our hearts into this prayer and pray it every day, we will be in the right relationship to God the Father, and we will be changed. It is not vain to pray, "Thy will be done," again and again in sincerity. The purpose of praying is to transform our hearts. To will what God wills is our salvation. It is freedom from the passions that enslave us and separate us from communion with Him. We must make this our prayer if we wish to inherit the kingdom as adopted sons. All of the petitions of the Our Father have this power to transform us, even when we ask for our daily bread. These are our needs of the moment. The Father knows we need our daily bread, and we need to express our dependence on Him for every good thing with humble hearts and do it again and again. As disciples of Christ, we should pray this prayer several times a day, and we should apply the general principles of the Our Father to our regular prayer life. That is why we use a prayer book. We do not know how to pray, so we follow the lead and the wisdom of Christians over the ages who have mastered the art of prayer. A common element in these traditional prayers is the desire to be transformed in the likeness of Christ, brought down to specifics. That is why anyone can use them, in the assurance that when we put our hearts in these words, we are praying that God's will for us, our salvation, will be accomplished. A prayer book also helps us pray in a systematic way for the needs of the whole world and of the church. Here, too, when we pray for the world with sincerity, we put on the mind of Christ, who wept for Jerusalem. We should also bring our specific needs and those of the people we love to our Heavenly Father. Unlike the pagans, we do not try to manipulate God. He is our loving Father, and we share our most intimate concerns with Him. Sometimes He answers our prayers in unmistakable and dramatic ways. Sometimes God seems silent. We remain confident that God loves us, whatever form the answer to our prayers takes. But except in dire circumstances, this kind of prayer for specific needs should not be the dominant theme of our prayer life. Often we have no agenda of our own in our prayers. We use the prayer book because we, like all the fathers who wrote these prayers, have a common agenda, our transformation in Christ. We, like them, are a work in progress, and every day we progress through prayer on the same narrow path that leads to heaven. Sometimes prayers for our urgent needs arise in us. Because they are sincere, they bring us closer to the Father. But there is no need to compose our own original extemporaneous prayers. The work of prayer is not a matter of elegant, original compositions. The work of prayer is rather to make the Our Father our own.